26 minutes to 6 o'clock. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Malawi is facing its worst food crisis in a decade, with 2 million people urgently needing life-saving food assistance due to the drought that's going on. The situation has been compounded by tropical storms and cyclones in recent years, pushing up to 40% of the population into hunger. Maize prices have also doubled and staple crop production has sharply declined, affecting millions who rely on agriculture for basic needs. The World Food Program, that is known as WFP, is appealing for urgent resources to provide emergency food assistance and also pre-position supplies before the lean season. So today we discuss the crisis in Malawi with the country director, Paul Turnbull, from the World Food Program. Thank you for joining us, Paul. Good evening to you.
Thank you, Saib. Nice to speak to you.
Paul, can you provide more insight into the current food crisis in Malawi and also the factors contributing to its severity?
Yes, unfortunately, in the middle of this growing season, the growing season normally runs between October and March, we were struck by a very severe dry spell in the southern half of the country. So that's had a really serious effect on the maize crop. Other crops have been affected, but it's really the maize crop that suffered. And it's estimated that about 44% of the main maize crop has really been affected by this dry spell. So we're expecting a very poor harvest, affecting about 2 million farming families. This is also after two fairly poor years, because we are affected by Tropical Storm Anna in 2022 and then Cyclone Freddy in 2023. So we've had some tough times on the food production front recently in Malawi.
Paul, can you enlighten our listeners what specific challenges does Malawi face in addressing the food crisis, particularly regarding access to staple commodities and rising food prices?
Yeah, the problem for Malawi is it's one of several countries in the Southern Africa region that's been affected by El Nino. So it's not easy to import from the other countries in the region. Malawi doesn't normally have to import very much maize. So this is a bit of a new situation. We can import some maize from, say, Tanzania, and there's maize on the world market that we can access, but it does mean that it's more expensive. There's going to be a lot of competition to get the maize, and there will be some specific logistical challenges to get all the food into the Southern Africa region.
So how does the WFP assess and prioritize the needs of vulnerable populations such as children, pregnant women, as well as the elderly in its response to the food crisis in Malawi?
There's a mechanism called the Malawi Vulnerability Assessment Committee, which WFP is part of. And there's an assessment that takes place, basically starts in May and will be completed by the middle of June. And this helps identify the people that are acutely food insecure. These are the people that would need food assistance in what we call the lean season. And it must be said that the lean season this year is going to start a lot earlier than the normal October to March period that the lean season is traditionally in Malawi. So after that assessment is done, we can work with the district councils and also NGOs to make sure that the people, the vulnerable populations, are registered and that the food or cash transfers would reach those people.
Paul, can you discuss the significance of President Lazarus Chakwera's declaring a state of disaster in affected districts? And also, what implications does this declaration have for the response efforts of organizations like the World Food Program?
I think in these situations, it's really important that the government shows that this state of disaster really is a government priority. So this helps mobilize the resources within the country and also helps to mobilize resources from the international community. On the basis of this disaster declaration, we really have been able to engage with our partners much more easily. And that discussion will hopefully result in the mobilization of resources for these vulnerable populations, both internally, domestically, and also externally, internationally.
So then how does the WFP collaborate with Malawi government and other stakeholders to ensure effective logistic support for the transportation of maize as well as the importation of cereals?
For the logistic support in the country, we normally, that is WFP, normally does assist with transport of government maize for relief distributions in what we call the lean season response. So that's something which we will probably have to expand this year. But also we have probably got to do a lot of procurement externally. So we would be on hand to help partners who are willing to fund the procurement, shipment and transport of maize so that we can import the cereals in a timely fashion.
And what are some of the key funding requirements and resource needs to effectively address the food crisis in Malawi, and how can the international community contribute to this?
There are needs across many of the sectors, agriculture, food security, nutrition, education, water and sanitation. There are lots of different areas that would be needed to respond to the El Nino crisis. And this is being put together in an appeal that's being coordinated by the government in consultation with its partners. We call them clusters at the Malawi level. So an appeal has been put together. It's soon to be issued, this appeal. We would expect the food requirements to be over $200 million for this year. And the international community would be able to pledge assistance against that appeal. And we hope that they can do that quickly, because there's a lead time of 3 to 4 months if we were to be procuring cereals from outside the region.
Finally, before we let you go, looking beyond the immediate response to the crisis, what are the WFP's long-term strategies and interventions to address the root causes of food insecurity and building resilience in Malawi's communities?
I'd like to point out two activities. One that we call livelihoods and resilience building. This is where we work with communities in a watershed to basically make that resilient to tropical storms and also dry periods. It basically means we help reshape the watershed using soil and water conservation techniques, and also including reforestation, which helps the watershed be productive again. So that, combined with a package of other activities, builds resilience of communities and certainly helps protect them. That certainly helped protect them during Cyclone Freddy and Tropical Storm Anna. So those resilience building activities have really been proven to work. The other activity that we think really addresses the root causes of food insecurity is the homegrown school meals program. This means providing money to schools so that they can buy food from the local farmers organizations, and they, what we insist on is a varied set of meals, not just eating maize meal. You have to have 4 food groups. It must have 5 different meals per week. This builds in a culture of eating much more diversified food than is typical in Malawi. We feel that this gets the children into good habits. They take those habits home. The parents have learned to cook those sorts of meals, and they're very easy to do, in fact. So that sort of diversity, not just diversity for the children to eat diverse food, but also diversity in terms of the production of food in Malawi. And that is something that's really important to the food system. So the homegrown school meals helps the nutrition and also helps farming and food systems.
Paul, we leave it at that. Thank you very much for joining us on Radio Islam, and you also enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much, and a good evening to you.
Good evening. That was Paul Turnbull, who's discussing with us regarding Malawi, who's facing its worst food crisis in a decade. Paul Turnbull is from World Food Programme, WFP, speaking to us regarding the crisis in Malawi.